Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, America, and good morning, world. Well, I guess it's afternoon, technically speaking. But anywho, I hope everybody is doing well and blessed in their particular part of the big blue marble, the place we call planet Earth. Hold on, hang on, change is coming, change is on its way, and it's a good and positive change. Things are getting ready to get correct, and we're getting ready to have a great correction, and it's going to be a wonderful and blessed thing. There's going to be some turmoil, there's going to be some bumps, and there's going to be what would appear to be rough weather, we can certainly say that, but there's always calm in the eye of the storm, and that's certainly where we want to be. We want to be in the eye of the storm. How can we be in the eye of the storm? Knowing, having the knowledge, having the truth, having the knowledge of the truth, and allowing it to make us free so that we can be calm, cool, and collected in the eye of the storm. Not only that, but we can help others through the eye and through the storm, I should say, and welcome them, bringing them into the eye of the storm. This is what I ask the ears of influence to do so that we can all be abreast of what's actually and really going on behind the scenes. It's not actually of what it appears, and we have to keep in mind that when we go through turmoil and hard times and rough and bad weather, as a people, as a human people, this is man created. This is, has nothing to do with God, with the Hollywood one, nothing to do with him at all. This is all man's doing, man's creations, and man's oppressions and man's, recessions, depressions, and all these different things that we go through as a human race, and moreover, speaking here in America, are self-created or created by men, not Martians or spirits or spooks in space or anything like that. You know, this is done simply and totally by man so that it can be corrected by a man. It doesn't have to be as harsh and damaging or mind altering or depressing or oppressing as it appears to be. If we do all this adjustment the right way, there is an adjustment coming. It's an economic and spiritual adjustment that's taking place right now as I speak. There's a segment coming on tonight. I think Fareed Zakaria is doing it, and it's called Why They Hate Us. You heard me speak of this before. I suggest that you tune in and hear what they have to say in this regard. I did listen to a little piece or a little pre-clip of what's coming on tonight, and there's one word that this radical Muslim gentleman says, and he says hypocrite. You know, he says the word hypocrite. Look out for that, because he has a relevant argument there. I mean, he really does, because this great nation could and should be doing a lot more in and throughout the world to help mankind. I talked to some people from Africa a few weeks ago, and I asked them their honest opinion of the West, you know, and how we live and do our things, you know, here in the United States. And they were very blunt about how, you know, we live in this United States and hypocritically. And what they mean by that is supposed to be one nation under God. Yet we allow suffering and suffrage, you know, around the world. And it doesn't have to be. There's no excuse for it. If we are a godly people and a nation under God, living as God's will would have us, then we should be steadfast in reaching out to those least and less fortunate to bring a better place make the world a better place. Like Michael says, you know, Michael Jackson used to say, make the world, you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make that change. I think, personally, I think that their messages, like Michael Jackson's, was too powerful, too strong, had too much inward focus, and his demise kind of put a silence to that particular outcry. Prince passed away here recently. He was kind of on the same wavelength, if you will, in liberating people. Signs of the Times, Ronnie Talked to Russia, Controversy, you know, all these different messages in the music, you know, to realign humankind in a way of spiritual righteousness to help, you know, the lesser man. That's what we're here for. This is what it's all about. Not oppressing the lesser man, but there has certainly been much oppression in Africa and the Middle East over the years. You know, we see these people, you know, digging through trash, you know, no running water, no electricity, no toilets, no any of these different, no, none of this kind of stuff. That's what I say. They don't need cows and chickens and horses and different things like that. They need John Deere. You know, they need international harvesters. They need silos. They need, you know, different types of industrial technologies, you know, that can make a better way of life for humankind and the less fortunate. This is what this gentleman means by hypocrite. And if we can turn on our TVs and see this type of hurting, suffrage, and things of that nature, and, you know, we haven't done anything in a broad path to change it, to make it better, then his accusation stands true. His accusations has to stand true because, as we say, it is what it is. So now what we have to do is change that as a fortunate and blessed nation. Yes, we pull ourselves up by the bootstraps every day. We built this great nation. We sure did. But now it's time to reach abroad. It's long past due to reach abroad and help our fellow and lesser man to just achieve the basic things in life, you know, of survival, a fresh drink of water, some food, you know, some decent good food. We waste more in this country than, you know, other nations. If we just could supply other nations in the world with our waste in terms of the food that we let allow spoil in our refrigerators and let spoil in our landfills and different things like that, it could feed the less fortunate. It could certainly take care and support probably everyone in the whole world. This is what this gentleman, and this is why he says that, you know, the radical Islamists, you know, hate us. And there's relevance there. There's truth there. We can't deny these accusations. We have to embrace them, and we have to do something about it collectively as a nation, as a people. We can do it. You know, this is what you don't understand the magnitude of blessing that would be bestowed upon this nation if we were to help other people around the world in a broad manner. The planet would breathe with ease, and you know, it would be so much clarity in the universe for doing these type of things. So we have to get to work, and this is what it's all about. Name of this broadcast is He Is No Savior. I'm speaking of a couple of people. I'm speaking of Jesus, and I'm also speaking of Donald Trump. we're going to go to, you know, both ends of the spectrum there. Hopefully we'll have time to cover all the bases today. We're going to cover a lot of material and a lot of stuff. Thank everybody for coming out. blessing this broadcast. You know, let's increase the numbers. This is real. This is what's good. I'm not, you know, sugarcoating anything. I'm not pulling punches or anything like that. You come here to learn something. And then after you do, you know, learn something, even the ears of influence, let's go out here and make a change in the world and, you know, receive the blessings for what we, you know, put out. What we'll get back is tremendous. You know, in this change, too, the change that they are creating that is going on, that the influence, you know, the people that, you know, control the wealth and the power of the world are repositioning their wealth. We're getting ready to go through a tough time, especially, you know, even Donald Trump says it. I can't remember. I'm not going to focus on trying to remember the guy's name. I can see his face. Oh, the Pauls, Rand Paul and Ron Paul, talking about all these different ills that are coming to America. It's coming. I mean, it's inevitable. If you look at the math, if you just look at how it's been laid out in terms of the monetary disbursement of worthless paper around the world, then as nations, you know, rise up and come up and start to becoming more technologically and spiritually and industrially sound and in position, they are very wealthy nations. They have been bestowed, God has placed, you know, great riches in their soil and in their land. And they are now coming to the point whereby they're understanding how to leverage their wealth, you know, in trade around the world, and how much influence and power they truly do have and hold and have been blessed with for this purpose. It's immeasurable. You know, the United States, you know, holds no nothing compared to the natural resources in the emerging lands, the lands that are coming to pass. So we have to prepare ourselves, embrace ourselves for change. It's going to be the one that's on, I'm just going to say this, the one that's on its way is twice the magnitude of 2008, the real estate adjustment. Actually, it's a repositioning of wealth. Men are doing this. God has nothing to do with it. Spirits have nothing to do with it. This is men. This is what a lot of things, what Bernie Sanders, you know, his argument is about, you know, when he's talking about different things of Wall Street and all this other kind of stuff, it kind of ties into what he's talking about and what his argument is. But that was about $7 trillion, folks, when we went through the real estate market, the bubble bust. Again, like I say, watch The Big Short if you want to know specifically what happened there. The next one that is on our horizon is twice that amount. We're talking $14 or $15 trillion. It is going to be a major adjustment. We'll feel this one. Now, the reason we didn't feel it in the real estate is because it was merely real estate. It wasn't our bank accounts. This will be felt in the bank account. Okay, so we have to prepare ourselves for it, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. You know, we have to trust in that because it's already written. Okay, it is truly, truly already written. I'm just going to jump into something right quick. I want to jump on Matthew 5 because what I want people to understand here is Jesus, Yeshua Jesus, is not a savior. He didn't come to this earth as a savior of, you know, for salvation. A lot of people want to take their wrongdoings, their sins and things that all of that nature and dump it off on or say it's covered in the blood or dump it off on Yeshua Jesus and say that I'm okay. You know, that's just like going to a priest and say, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. And the priest says, you know, your sins are forgiven. He does not have that power or authority. Now, as far as the human conscience is concerned, that you've made this, you know, a conviction, and put it out there, that's all that's going to help. That's all that's going to help is your own human conscience, that you think that you have, you know, lifted the sin or the burden off of you and placed it upon Yeshua, Jesus, or someplace in the universe, or whatever the case may be. This is just totally not true. And the Bible says it. The scriptures say this. Not just the Bible, but scripture says this. You even have ancient scriptures that say the same thing, that we will all be held accountable for our sins and our works, you know, on and in this earth. This is what this is all about. This is a test. This is to see what we're going to do in the mortal realm. Like I said before, we are spiritual beings in a human experience. And we determine, you know, our eternal experience by what we do in the human experience. Okay, so you might want to play that back and understand that fully for what I just said, but that encapsulates, our purpose here on earth. In Matthew 5, it tells us exactly who are to be received in the kingdom of heaven. Not Christians, not Islam, not Buddhists, not whoever this, that, there, and the other. And if you think about it, what it's all about, you know, in this life and in the life hereafter is righteousness and the righteousness of God, the righteousness of the Hallowed One. He set the law. The law pertains directly to righteousness. They work hand in hand, one to another. If you abide by the law, then you are a righteous person, righteous unto God, righteous unto your fellow man, and vice versa. Okay, and what Yeshua taught us here, and said in 5, it says, seeing the multitudes, he went to the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and taught them. I want you to understand this word taught. Like I said, he's a teacher. He taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay, boom, right off the bat, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. In the time of death, the Spirit shall come and comfort you, the Spirit of comfort. And you should not mourn death. Death should be a rejoice and a joyful moment, because if you lived as a righteous person, or that person lived in a righteous manner, a righteous way in life, then best believe he's in the kingdom of peace, in the kingdom of heaven, where there's nothing but joy, love, and harmony, peace, and the good things that we experience, you know, here in the mortal realm for being righteous people. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It doesn't say the mighty and the wealthy and the powerful. Hear this, ears of influence. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after, hear this word again, righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. This is what, now, this nation, are we a merciful nation? Are we a boastful and arrogant nation? This is the hypocrite. This is what he means by this. Blessed are the merciful, merciful for your fellow man around the world, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Okay, not the wicked heart, not the cold heart, but the pure in heart, unconditional love for your fellow man, unconditional respect, unconditional mercy for your fellow man. This is what this is all about, folks. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The peacemakers, not the warmongers or the war creators. I guess they would be considered the opposite of God, the children of God. But blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they who are listening to this word again, folks, persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Righteousness, folks. In this passage, in this short passage right here, the word righteousness is the most powerful word. And it is your ticket into the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of peace, kingdom of love, the kingdom of joy. Okay. Now, Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and they shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, okay, for my teaching, for my, you know, for you doing these things, for you abiding by these rules and these laws that Yeshua Jesus put forth before us, okay. It says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted by the prophets which were before you. Okay, there's your reward right there is in heaven for these things here. All right, now, I know this is a bitter pill and kind of tough for a lot of people to understand and digest, but it is the truth. And this is what, once you, you know, come out of this bondage, the spiritual bondage, then, you know, you shall be a free person and people and land and nation and world and people. You see, once we can become one, this is what Yeshua Jesus taught. He taught oneness, one God, one people, and one way of life. And that way of life is righteousness for yourself, towards yourself, and for all mankind, towards all mankind, your neighbor, your community, your nation, your world. You see, all people. You know, you can love people to love conquers hate any day, anytime, any day. Love conquers hate. Okay, now, I wanted to quickly jump over here to confirm that Yeshua Jesus was nothing more than a rabbi or a teacher. Now, if we look up the word rabbi, okay, it means the chief religious official of a synagogue, trained usually in a theological seminary and duly ordained, who delivers a sermon at a religious service and performs ritualistic, pastoral, educational, and other functions in related to his or her capacity as a spiritual leader of Judaism and Jewish community. Okay, the title respect for a Jewish scholar or teacher, okay? This is what this is all about. We have to honor and acknowledge Yeshua Jesus for what and who he was and who he is, and nothing more, nothing less, because if we do, then we're stepping outside of the will of God, even the will of Yeshua Jesus, because he says, he tells us, you know, what to say and what to do. Okay, now, we're going to jump over here to John 20 and about, let's see, let's go to 14, 20 and 14 right quick. John 20 and 14. And when she said, she had thus said, she turned back herself back and saw Yeshua Jesus standing and knew it was not him and knew it was not Yeshua Jesus. And Yeshua Jesus said unto her, woman, why thou weepest? Whom seekest thou? She supposed him as a gardener. Says unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Okay, now we're gonna go and touch back on the sepulcher, you know, him in the sepulcher, because that's some pretty really deep and heavy stuff right there. But like I said, Yeshua Jesus did not die, you know, on the cross. Okay, they were some very powerful people, the Essenes or Nazarene people. They were all I know that they were vegetarian. They may have been even vegan, and their belief system was really, really deep. And they had power over not only, you know, life, but power over their death, you know, in a great regard. Let's just say they had power over their bodies, okay, to withstand uncommon torture and things of that nature. They were very strong willed. Okay, we're going to continue to read at 16. Yeshua Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith to him, Rabboni. I want you to notice this word, Rabboni, or Rabbi. I do believe this is the only time this word appears in the scripture. They say it appears somewhere in Mark. I have not ever been able to find it in Mark. I'm not saying that it's not there. But I know in scripture, this is the only time this word actually appears, and it's Rabboni. A rabbi, which is to say master, okay, or teacher, okay. Now, the King James would put a comma and say master here, but it is better, it is truly understood that he is a teacher, okay? You could even say master, you know, as in teacher. I do believe that, you know, some teaching situations or systems, you know, call a master, you know, a teacher or the teacher a master. And yes, what Jesus said in there, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. Okay, the word here is my Father. I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and my God and your God. Folks, this is clear. This is crystal clear. You know, not unless you think the scripture is being deceiving, is a lie, is something other than the truth. I don't know, you know, how you could be a follower of Yeshua, a follower of God, a follower of righteousness, a follower of oneness, you know, in the universe, and not understand and receive this. Okay. I just don't understand it. But you know, the thing about it is that if you walk under the Christian belief system, I had one person tell me that, well, Christianity, you know, we're a non-denominational Christian church. Folks, that just an oxymoron. That don't make sense right there to me. We are a non-denominational Christian church. Well, it's not Christianity a denomination. I mean, you got to understand, and what I told the pastor that told me that, I said, it's not how you look at other people. It's how other people look at you. You see, so if you're under that, you know, tent of, you know, Christianity, then folks are going to judge you as Christians. If you're under the tent of oneness, one God, one people, and one way of life, just as Yeshua Jesus was. Like I said, if you're going to be like him, believe like him. See, it's no variance there. And if you do, then no man can judge you, see, because you're merely a child of God, you know, doing righteousness, living a righteous life, you know. And this is the belief system that Yeshua Jesus lived under and taught under. If you really look at how he, you know, it goes about his teachings, it's about righteousness. It's about one God. It's about, one people. He loveth the world. He loveth the world. That's one people, folks. When it says world, that it encapsulates everybody in the world. It says, I got 90 seconds, but I'm going to keep on talking. Love one another, take care of one another. It's the right thing to do. It's what God wants to do, simply because God is love. But I wanted to say that I want to go back over this one again. This is 17:16. Yes, what Jesus saying to her, Mary, she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, Rabbi, Jewish, Judaic, okay, which is to say master. Yes, and Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascending to my Father, but go and tell my brethren or my disciples and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father. I think that's a little human right there. It's human side coming out, because it's a little deceptionary. It says, you know, I have not yet ascended, but go tell him that I did. Okay, we're not going to really expand on that, you know, too much, because, again, it is what it is. For my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. That covers it all. That covers it all. God is even his God. Yeshua Jesus is God. You see, Yeshua Jesus is Father. Do you think he's double talking here? Well, I got 10 seconds, but I'm going to keep on talking. And I wanted to just touch on that because it's very, very important, folks. It's right here in Scripture. You know, if we're going to heal and we're going to get right, get corrected, you know, we got to go with the truth, because you know what the truth does? It makes us free. It doesn't set us free from physical bondage. It makes us free from spiritual and mental bondage. Okay. All right. Okay. Everybody goes on in 19. It's a very nice, you know, thing. Then they came in the evening. Being the first day of the week, folks, Here's another thing too, since we're going to touch on this, because he wanted to bring this out right here. The first day of the week is not Monday. Just walk up to any calendar right now. Look at any calendar that you have in your presence and see what the first day of the week is. And what is the seventh or the Sabbath day of the week? You see, this is the turning and twisting of Rome, of Constantine. The first day of the week is Sunday. Any calendar in America says it. The seventh day of the week is Saturday. The first day of the week, when the doors were shut, the disciples were sent for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saying to them, peace be unto you. I love that right there. Peace be unto you. Peacemaker. Who is a peacemaker? They are the children of God. Okay? But, you know, we got to look at all the twists and turns that we as a human race are suffering under because of man, you know, twisting things around and turning things in upside down and in and out and all this other kind of stuff. And we're going to expand on Rome and the Council of Nicaea and everything that took place, you know, to get us to where we are today, 2016 years later. It was a heck of a thing. I mean, they did a remarkable job. Trust me when I tell you that, because they forecasted it so far into the future. You know, and it's an amazing thing that we are living through it, the prophecy of man. You know, so that's why I say it's really something. Okay, we're gonna jump back to Matthew 6:25. And I'm just gonna jump down here right quick to 6:31. Matthew 6:31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, "What shall we eat?" or "What shall we drink?" or "Where shall we be clothed?" Okay, when they talk about clothed, that means covered, your place of dwelling, okay, in addition to your clothes. For all these things do the Gentiles seek, okay? And they have that in parentheses. For all these things do the Gentiles seek. Okay, so he's talking to, you know, another, you know, group of people at this particular point in time. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Okay, now here, folks, listen very carefully and intensely here. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness. For all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, not thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, let tomorrow worry about tomorrow. You focus on the righteousness and the kingdom of God. You focus on being righteous and the kingdom of God. And all the things that you need shall be added unto you. Now, you know, we understand that this is a compilation of man in the scripture. But common sense and the spiritual reception of the vibe, if you will allow these words to come to formulate truth, logic, understanding. You see, I mean, when things come together and they make truth like that, they make sense. They typically lean into truth. It runs hand in hand. It runs in the same path. You see? So this is why, you know, you hear me always say, you know, it's not about Christianity. It's not about Jesus. Even Jesus himself teaches this over and over again. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, my Father's kingdom, and his righteousness. Okay, and all these things shall be added unto you. This is what the teacher is teaching. You see, this is what Yeshua Jesus is teaching. Oh, and you want to know, it does say, you know, that this is him. This is Yeshua Jesus, you know, teaching these words. Okay, now. I got a couple other quick things. Look up the word Savior, a person who saved, rescued, delivered, the title of God, especially of Christ. Okay, you can look that up. leave it, you know, leave it with God, because, you know, even God says in the Old Testament that I shall be your God and I shall be your Savior. And we've confirmed that, so I don't need to tread back over that ground. But I also want you to look up the persecution of Christians. Do it through Wikipedia. Look up the persecution of Christians, folks, and be blown away by how many people and groups and segments and sects and clans and cults have persecuted Christians simply because of the belief in God. I mean, the belief in Jesus as Savior, as their Savior. This is mind-boggling, mind-blowing. How many have hated and persecuted and killed and tried to eradicate, you know, Christians simply because of their belief system. It's amazing. It's mind-blowing. But folks, if we put that away, we put that shell away and accept, you know, spirituality and accept the teachings of Yeshua as he taught it, this does not apply. And we are merely children of God, one and all, okay? And I hope you can understand and receive what I'm sharing with you at this time. Have a little girl is burnt up, her face and body is burnt. Christian girl who is burnt during the anti-Christian riots in Odisha, wherever that's at, India, I guess that would be. Folks, this is global. You know, this is absolutely global. We can't, you know, mankind can't, or Christians can't win this battle on the battlefield of conventional warfare. This has to be a spiritual adjustment, a spiritual change, a spiritual rebirth in order to, you know, defeat and steer off all of this hatred. Anything that they talk about this evening, I don't know where they're going with it, but I suggest that you watch it, Why They Hate Us. As a Christian nation, we got to get our righteousness on track, folks. This is where we're falling short. Let's see here. A little bit about politics. Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders. Bernie needs to tone it down just a little bit. We understand where he's coming from. Make an excellent number two guy. Make an excellent, you know, vice president. If that ticket ever comes together, you can forget it. Donald Trump is still kind of, he's still pushing on. He's got the world in turmoil. He's got the world in a guessing space. They don't know, you know, what they, you know, I can tell you this, Russia doing all its nuclear and submarine maneuvers, and China doing, this is a direct result of Donald Trump potentially becoming the president of this United States because of the uncertainty of the direction and what will happen if he becomes president. I don't see him becoming president. I only think I do for one particular, in one particular regard, and if this is the case, then we have to understand it for what it is, what it truly will be. When I speak of, you know, all of this economic, you know, unrest and the storm that I spoke of and being the colonized storm, if Trump becomes president, it's because they're going to implement the storm in a pretty direct way, you know, it very apparent and you will notice it and we'll feel it, we'll see it. I don't believe that it can occur under Hillary Clinton's watch. We'll have to go about, you know, the transformation another way, which is okay and fine with me. It doesn't have to be abrupt, but. If Mr. Trump does somehow get into the presidential seat, then you can best believe that the economy, the American economy as we know it, will be abruptly changed, and the great transformation will be in full effect. And I'm going to come back and expand on that because right now it probably doesn't make a heck of a whole lot of sense, but I'll go very deep in it. Here, you know, soon, but I just kind of sense that in the back of my mind that this may be the setup for this. because the uprising and the upheavals, you know, would be very harsh if Hillary Clinton was in office, opposed to a Donald Trump saying all these different things and putting up all these different fronts and different things like that. And if, you know, turmoil, economic turmoil was to take place, it would be more digestible, you know, by those, because, you know, he set it up in that particular manner. Build a wall, you know, block out the Muslims and, you know, all these different type of things, you know, for that particular, you know, group of people, you know, hanging with the, you know, the Ku Klux Klan and different things like that, you know, while they go ahead and make this change and transformation under his watch, it'd be like a oh well moment. You know, this is what we have to do, opposed to, you know, Hillary Clinton. So we got it. You know, I understand what's going on, and just try to share it and bring people to light so that we can all get through this civilly. Okay. So anyhow, that's my broadcast for today. I'm going to say love one another, take care of one another. I'll be back soon with more details and more in-depth discussion. Just do the right thing. Righteousness is what it's all about. You know, high and low. The least shall be first and the first shall be least in the kingdom of heaven. Why do they think that they say that? Why do you think it's in scripture? Why do you think Yeshua Jesus said that? You know, it's harder for a man with a bunch of money to get into the kingdom of heaven than it is to shove a camel through the eye of a needle. Why do you think that they say that? Why do you think the meek shall inherit the earth? You see, if we have to think about all these things as a human race, not just for what it is and what it appears, you see, but the spiritual aspect of our evolution, our human evolution, that's what's important. So anyhow, next broadcast, take care of one another. Love one another. It's the right thing to do. It's what God wants us to do. Why? Simply because God is love. So the next broadcast, so long for now.